Welcome back. This is KGPR, Great Falls at 89.9 FM, public radio for North Central Montana. And here in the studio with me this afternoon is Great Falls Symphonic Choir Director Cynthia Stevens. Welcome.
Good afternoon. It's so nice to be here today.
Oh, it's such a beautiful day out today.
It sure is. I'm so glad the weather's decided to cool off a bit.
You betcha. And tell us a little bit about yourself, please.
Well, my name is Cindy Stevens. I am the new Symphonic Choir Director for the Great Falls Symphony Choir. I've started this position this past fall, and it's been my pleasure to follow in some footsteps of some wonderful leaders before me: Mary Moore, Kenyard Smith, Paul Ritter, Grant Harville, and now I am taking the helm and trying to grow the choir to another level.
Amazing, especially if you're following the footsteps of some of the best past choral conductors that the city's ever witnessed.
Absolutely. There are all of those people have been mentors of mine, so I'm pleased to be considered in their company, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And so how did you get into the, how did you first start it out as a choir director, mm-hmm. even before you did all sorts of choir directing, maybe when you first started singing in choirs, or how'd you find your voice?
Great question. I started singing in choirs when I was probably about 5 years old, back in Alabama in church choir growing up.
Wow.
And then, of course, we had a wonderful graded elementary school program, and then I sang all through junior high and high school and college, and I think I've always found myself in some sort of choral situation throughout my life. So that's been many years ago since I was five. That's been several years ago. We're not going to talk about that.
for another time.
Yeah, we'll save that for another time. It's been a wonderful experience with the Symphonic Choir. I started with the Symphonic Choir as a chorister when I moved to Great Falls, Montana about 10 years ago. I've sung with them as a chorister. I've been a soloist with the group. I've been a guest conductor with the group. Ooh. I've been last season I was an assistant to Grant Harville. I was his assistant with the Symphonic Choir, and now I find myself in the fortunate position to lead the group at least through the next few seasons. So I'm very excited about the opportunities that we have forthcoming.
That's amazing. And how did you hear about this wonderful choir that we have here in town? Like what motivated you to be a part of it?
Well, when I moved to Great Falls 10 years ago, I was brand new to the community, brand new to the music scene here. Coming from Texas, I was involved in the music arena in Houston, Texas. And so when I moved here, it was just natural for me to try to seek out another ensemble to be a part of. And that's when I found the Great Falls Symphonic Choir and became a member of that group and have been with them in some capacity since that time. The cool thing, one of the really neat things about the Symphonic Choir is that it does contain, its membership is very diverse and consists of singers from all over Great Falls and the Montana, our area in Montana. So it's a diverse cultural group and diverse in age and experience and interests. So it's wonderful to see all of those different people coming together with a common goal to make beautiful music together. So it's really a fun group to be involved with.
And I've asked Hillary on the previous interview that COVID has impacted a lot of the concerts and what have you, but how did it affect the choir in a big way?
Oh, it affected our choir in a huge way. We ended up suspending the choral season for about a year, maybe a year and a half. We didn't sing together. We didn't come together as a group. So we just have reconvened. I guess last season was our first season back. But having that absence from one another and that absence of music, I think, has made our reconnection that much sweeter and that much stronger, because we had that unplanned, unexpected time apart from one another.
Yeah, and then all of us, I know that a lot of choirs have performed on Zoom even during even when the pandemic was at its peak and mm-hmm. during lockdowns. Mm-hmm. But did you ever have the opportunity to do that?
We did not do that too much. I know that Grant Harville, our artistic director, did provide some musical outlets and some lectures and things online, but the choir did not have a specific outlet during COVID. So they, I guess that they were humming along at home and, and thinking of days gone by and hoping, looking forward to the future to come. So here we are in the future to come, back singing live without masks at this point anyway, ready to prepare. We're preparing for our holiday concert. So it's lovely.
Ah, and then that brings me to that question: what is the holiday concert going to entail? Kind of for people to plan ahead if they want to come.
Absolutely, the holiday concert this year will have a mixture of symphony or instrumental pieces and also choral literature. The choral pieces that we will be presenting are the John Rutter Gloria, which is a lovely piece. Also, the Craig Courtney, A Musical Logical Journey Through the 12 Days of Christmas. Now, that is a tongue twister. I've been practicing saying that. That's a Christmas piece that contains each day is contains music that is familiar or similar to different musical time periods. So we start off with a piece, the first day of Christmas is sort of a Gregorian chant.
Oh, wow.
And then we follow through all of the other days of Christmas, hearing references from Handel, Vivaldi, Mozart, Strauss, Tchaikovsky, and Wagner.
Wow.
Finishing up the 12th day with a Sousa example, or it has a Stars and Stripes Forever
tinge,
final 12th day. So
that is a nice arrangement, especially going, you know, it's like getting to know the classical music throughout the years, going from Bach all the way to Sousa.
Mm-hmm. It's a really fun piece. The choir is having a good time putting that together. And then, of course, we always finish the concert with a holiday sing-along to invite the audience to participate in Christmas carols that are really familiar. So we're looking forward to all of those pieces for the holiday concert. Get the holiday season kicked off beautifully. That concert, by the way, is scheduled for Sunday, December 4th at 3 p.m. in the Mansfield Theater. So if we're encouraging our audience to come back and hope to have a full house.
Can you tell us a history about the Great Falls Symphonic Choir for those who want to get to know more about the choir, in case if they've moved here in town, they want to get to know more, not about the choir, but the arts itself?
Absolutely. The Great Falls Symphony Association began in 1959. So that organization itself has been around for 63 years. And then the Symphonic Choir joined the ranks in 1960. So just a year later, after the orchestra was established, the choir came on board. So it's wonderful to have these two arts organizations working together and collaborating for the past 62 years. That's sort of amazing in the lifespan of community civic organizations that these two groups have collaborated and been together for this amount of time and continue to make plans for the future and continue to collaborate and look toward more years together. So I think that's a very exciting and very remarkable relationship. If people are interested in more information about the Great Falls Symphony or the Symphony Choir or the Symphony Orchestra, they could always call the Symphony office.
Mm-hmm.
And I have the telephone number here if you'd like that. It's area code 406-453-4102. 406-453-4102. That's the direct line into the Symphony office, so that you could call there to get more information about our rehearsals and our programming and our audition processes. And then also ticketing information would be available at the Symphony office if someone wanted to call in there.
Great. And going back to talking about yourself, what are some of your primary influences as far as voice or some of your favorite composers or songs you like that are some of your favorites that you would love to sing or like to sing or would like to sing in the future?
I have two favorite pieces of music that I love to work with and work with choirs to prepare. One of those is the Vivaldi Gloria. Mm. It's a upbeat piece of music that could be performed with or without a small orchestra. It is easily attainable by young choirs, community choirs, church choirs. It's a piece of music that's just easily attainable and fun to sing and educational in context as well. So that's a piece that I love to work on. I've worked that piece 3 or 4 times in my career. And then another piece that I truly love is the Foray Requiem. Mm. It's just a beautiful, rich piece of choral literature that is also attainable, but is a little bit heavier than the Vivaldi. So depending on the year, depending on the season, depending on the choir that's participating, it would depict or it would influence the choice whether I would want to work on the Vivaldi or the Foray. But those are two of my all-time favorites that I love to work on.
Beautiful pieces.
Thank you. Yeah, they are beautiful.
So going back to also the choir itself too, how many members are in the choir? And if anyone's interested in being a part of it, how would they contact you?
Mm-hmm. The choir, the symphonic choir currently has about 100 members. Mm. So that's exciting. We're going to pack the stage at the Mansfield. So I'm thrilled about that. So we do have about 100 members right now. We have a simple audition process. I ask that people come in. We'll do some vocal warm-ups and test check a range. There's a simple sight singing exercise that I ask people to complete. And then a rousing version of their favorite Happy Birthday. And so it's a fun time for us to get to know one another, and for me to see voice quality and where a singer could best fit into the ensemble. The best way to prepare or to contact me to the best way to contact me in order to arrange an audition time would be to call the symphony office again back at the 406-453-4102 number to arrange an audition, or I do have an email address that's connected with the symphony. It's CynthiaStevens@gfsymphony.org. Cynthia Stevens with a V at gfsymphony.org.
Terrific. And I guess with the different variants of Happy Birthday, I guess you can do it in your own way, pretty much, even if it's like, even if it sounds avant-garde-ish, or if it sounds country-like, or even, you know, even if you do like a jazz number where it sounds like a beep bop be da ba dee bop ba ba, Happy Birthday to you.
Oh, that would be fun. Any kind of variation would be wonderful and well-received.
Awesome. And how, also another, I'm talking about connection, you know, with... How has the symphony has connected very well with the community, how well has the choir itself connected with the community, and how have people met that connection in order to see more, experience more, and even, again, as I said before, be a part of that choir?
The symphonic choir has, in the past, in pre-COVID time, had some outreach concerts. We've been to Benefice, and we've been to some area nursing homes and facilities of that sort. We've also sung the national anthem at some ball games. Mm. So the symphonic choir has been a part of the outreach of the symphony association itself. Again, those were pre-COVID times. Now that we are working into post-COVID times, I anticipate that we will have more outreach with the symphonic choir this fall, spring, and next fall especially. We're planning our first standalone concert for next fall, so that's going to be an exciting time for the choir to be showcased on its own merit. So we're looking forward to that opportunity. Those dates and times and venues are still to be settled, but we are excited to have that charge going forward.
And I'll bet the songs are to be determined, too, to surprise the audience of what they might hear.
Well, yes, the literature is still up for discussion, and I have asked the members of the symphonic choir to help select the pieces for that concert. I sort of envision our first standalone concert as sort of a singer's choice concert, where the singers in the ensemble present some of their favorite pieces to me, and then we make some decisions about what literature would be appropriate for this first standalone concert with me as the director.
So they get to have that opportunity to choose their own songs.
Right. I would love that. I would love for them to have the opportunity to sort of buy into the concert. Oftentimes, the literature is chosen for us to fit with the entire season, the entire orchestral association, the entire symphonic season. But this will be an opportunity where the choristers would actually have some say and buy-in into the literature that is selected for them to present. So if they have the opportunity to select it, they might have a better time preparing it. So that would be an exciting opportunity.
That's amazing. And do you have any closing thoughts about this interview or anything happening around the bend with the choir?
Well, I would love to encourage other singers in the community to come and audition. We have basically closed auditions for the holiday concert, but if there are folks that would be interested in participating in our spring program, we will be preparing an old Buddhist prayer by Lily Boulanger, which will be exciting. And then the ladies' chorus will be presenting or singing on Gustav Holst's The Planets in the seventh movement. Ooh. So those are our two large pieces for the spring concert, and I would gladly accept more singers for that performance. So if folks are interested in coming and joining us for the spring half of our season, I would be interested in hearing them sing and audition and welcome them to the group.
That's amazing. Once again, I'm here in the studio with Cynthia Stevens, the Great Falls Symphonic Choir Director. And once again, it's a pleasure to be with you this afternoon.
Thank you very much.
And this is KGPR Great Falls at 89.9 FM.